Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Day three of SEC Media Days. We're here at the Grand Hyatt in downtown Nashville. Our 102.5 and 106.3 The Game SEC Media coverage is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. We heard from Nick Saban earlier today. Willie D. D-Maze, how we doing?
Doing good, other than the rain, but no hiccups coming here to the Grand Hyatt. So parking was great. So I'm good. I'm fine.
Good day.
Yeah, I'm fine. I got my coffee, so I'm ready.
Willie Donick joins us from Atlanta, who saw a pretty cool baseball game last night. How we doing, Willie?
I did. Guys, I am coming at you from Atlanta by my good friend Bruce Elder's house here. No relation to Bryce Elder, who was the unfortunate starting pitcher last night for the Braves in that absolute wild 16-13 game that we got a chance to see last night. My son's playing in the Perfect Game tournament that's going on down here in the Atlanta area. So great crowd on hand, but man, they were treated to a show, just a bunch of fireworks. It was just amazing. 16-13, a major league record for most runs in a game this season. And then if you look across baseball last night, guys, it's the all-time record for most teams scoring 10 or more in one night. It's never happened before. I think the number kept growing by the end of the night. It was like 11 or 12 teams by the end of the night, four of which lost the games, but they hit double digits. So the ball was flying all over parks last night.
Was it a full moon last night or something?
It must have been a full moon. I don't know. Some people were texting me saying, is the ball juiced or something? What are they putting in these balls?
Mercury in retrograde, I guess. It was baseball Mercury in retrograde. Well, glad you had a good time, Willie. Like I said, Nick Saban took the podium today, this morning. And there's been this question that's kind of been thrown around on national media. I've seen it on ESPN. I've seen it on CBS Sports. And Paul Feinbaum addressed it about Nick Saban. Paul Feinbaum addressed it earlier this week on Get Up. This was Paul Feinbaum with a wild, wild answer to a wild question.
Reason Alabama does miss the playoffs again this year. Are we going to be talking about Nick Saban's legacy in a different light?
I think, yes, you have to. And first of all, nothing is going to take away from what he's accomplished. And for those who don't follow this closely, he's won six national championships at Alabama since arriving in 2007. He won another one at LSU. But if he is in the same league as somebody who has now, at the end of the season, won three, then that's a big hit on his legacy. And I think you also have to question Saban for what happened last year. He had the best team in the country going in. They were nearly unanimous. And at the NFL draft, in case anyone wasn't paying attention, let me refresh your memory. He had the best offensive player and the best defensive player, Will Anderson on defense, and of course the Heisman Trophy winner from 2 years ago and the number one pick, Bryce Young, on offense. And with that, he still couldn't get it done. The defense let him down. There were mental lapses across the board. They had 17 penalties in the Texas game. I think they had just as many against Tennessee. And some of the coaching was subpar, too. I mean, Nick Saban, I've never seen a Nick Saban team get scorched like they did in the final minute against Tennessee in Knoxville when Hendon Hooker led that team down the field in four plays and kicked a field goal and sent Alabama home a loser. So those are serious questions. And one more thing about Alabama. Two new coordinators. One has been there a couple of times, Kevin Steele on defense. But Tommy Reese comes over from Notre Dame. They don't have an established quarterback. And think about this for a second. The last couple of Alabama quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and Bryce Young. I think you guys can figure out the rest.
Okay, again, that was Paul Feinbaum on Get Up earlier this week. Is Nick Saban's legacy on the line? Paul Feinbaum says, yes, I just about spit out my coffee when I heard that. What do we think? Is Nick Saban's legacy on the line?
I don't, you know.
Teammates, your coach, come on, his legacy. Why didn't Paul mention your legacy at Michigan State when he was the coach of Derek Mason there? I don't understand why that didn't get into the
misstep
answer.
On Paul's part.
Yeah, misstep on Paul's behalf. But, I mean, I guess this is sort of the question that ends up coming up eventually, you know, down the line with great coaches, great players. When there seems to be a chink in armor, there's this, has he reached, you know, has he comes to the end of his road, you know, is he still the player or the coach that he used to be? You know, all of that comes up when you've been so successful and then you have a year where, you know, it's not a bad year. It's just a year that you're not accustomed to and everyone else is not accustomed to seeing you lose two games in one season, seeing you, you know, give up as many points as you gave up from a defensive standpoint, Alabama. But there's no way in hell that if he doesn't win a national championship or if they don't win the SEC, that his legacy is questioned or tarnished. His legacy is set in stone. He will arguably go down as the greatest college football coach ever. He might just go down as the greatest coach ever to coach a team sport. So I don't think, you know, his legacy will be tarnished if indeed they don't get back to national championship status. He has a program that consistently wins. Why don't we ask these questions of other coaches, you know, when they have bad seasons? We only ask this question of Nick because he's been so great. And when the greats stop being great for any period of time, we question whether either they're coming to the end of the road or will this season or this year, whatever, you know, tarnish what they've done for the last. He's been coaching damn near as long as I've been alive. So it's going one season's going to tarnish that. I don't think so.
You know, this, you know what this is, guys? To me, it's a sign that we have not really had that really juicy topic that sustains all kinds of talk throughout Radio Row. I mean, fair to say, I mean, a lot of years you can think back, like the 1 year way back when Philip Fulmer was given a subpoena by the Alabama attorney. It was buzzing the whole week for that. It was unbelievably controversial. There's been other things that have happened through the years. That's just one example. We don't really have that topic or anything. So I think people are bored. Paul's trying to stir it up a little bit. I think he knows that Nick Saban's resume speaks for itself. I would say, though, you know, it's like that's a dynasty that he's got at Alabama. It's getting boring that they're picked at the top every year. Every single program that's got national championship aspirations is gunning for them. And so this is just what happens after a certain point. I mean, every cycle does have to come to an end at some point. It's just a matter of when, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. It's just hard to keep coming and satisfying people, even his own fans sometimes, that he gets short with at times on his radio show because, like you said, Derek, they're not used to losing two games in a year. The bar is so high, it can't be any higher.
And I think the word legacy, to use that word with that question, isn't fair. Mm-hmm. Because legacy is how you are going to be remembered 50, 100, 150 years from now. Maybe, well, Nick Saban's, I don't want to use reputation because it's not like he would ever have a bad reputation, but would Nick Saban's kind of fear be dissipated across the rest of the SEC if Alabama doesn't win the SEC West, doesn't get to the college football playoff, doesn't win a national championship? I would be more willing to entertain that conversation. Like, is the shine off the apple on Alabama and Nick Saban a little bit? I would be willing to say that. But the way that you're remembered,
that's a question that
that's
is a fun
fair
one to try
conversation.
The legacy is not in question.
The legacy, the way that he will be remembered, absolutely is not in question. And I think that even asking that question is unfair and very disrespectful to Nick Saban and what he has done. Because I look at so many college football coaches now in college football that have really great reputations that I think will be remembered if their careers end today, that those coaches will be remembered for good things. Lincoln Riley is one of them. Ryan Day is one of them. Brian Kelly is another one. None of those three coaches have won national titles, yet if they retired today, I think they'd still have a pretty solid legacy. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban's won 7-6 at Alabama and 1 at LSU. I don't care what he does this season. His legacy will be that he is one of the best college football coaches of all time. His teams are always going to be good. And let's not forget, Alabama went 10-2 this year. Mm-hmm. It's not like Alabama won 4 games. Sure, you could say, well, they went 10-2. They really could have gone 8-4, and that's fine. They could have lost the Texas game. Could have lost the Texas A&M game. I hear you. But Alabama went 10-2, and all of a sudden we're talking about Nick Saban's legacy. I know that whenever, the higher the pedestal, the harder the fall. But I think we all are just grossly overreacting to what Alabama did this season. And that is coming from an LSU fan who really would love to see Nick Saban step away from the game of college football. I think it's disrespectful, and I think that we're kind of rewriting a tale of Nick Saban and a tale of college football that is inaccurate and just, frankly, ridiculous.
I think I think a lot of it has to do with not necessarily Nick, I believe, because Nick has found a way. The one thing you can say about Nick Saban that you probably can't say about a lot of coaches, head coaches that have been in the game a very long time,
right,
is that Nick has been able to transition from decade to decade. He's been able to transition from no NIL to NIL. Mm-hmm. He's been open and welcoming to, how offenses flow now. Because for years he won with what? Running a football. He had Ingram. He had Henry. You can go down the line of the backs that he's had in great defenses. But as the college landscape started to change, as the NFL did too, passing became more prevalent around the country. And Nick Saban then embraced that. Mm-hmm. And allowed his team to sort of step into the new generation of playing football. So I don't think I try to not think that it's so much about Nick this season, but it's about who's playing quarterback for him this season. I think if he had, a guy coming back, say like a Bryce Young, if Bryce Young was coming back for another year, there would be no question about whether, no one would be questioning his legacy this upcoming year, even if they had lost 2 games the prior year, because they're bringing back a more veteran quarterback. This year, they're not bringing back a veteran quarterback.
Right.
They're still trying to figure that position out. So I think it's more so that than anything else, because Saban is Saban. He's going to coach the way he's been coaching. He's going to, morph into whatever he needs to be for his team as far as leadership-wise, coaching-wise. But what he doesn't have right now that he has had over the last 5 or 6 years is a quarterback, a proven quarterback.
And coming up next, I want to get into what absolutely terrifies me and probably should terrify every non-Alabama SEC fan out there, and something that I think Alabama fans should love. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Feinbaum says, yes, Nick Saban's legacy could be in question. I think it is crazy. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
He is highly motivated. He is highly motivated. You understand me? He is highly pissed off. You understand me? Because this is the thing. Coach Saban don't want that spotlight off of him in Alabama. I don't care what nobody say. Coach Saban wants that spotlight. And he wants that spotlight on his program. He wants his program talked about. But the one thing I know with that little man, he's a master motivator, bro. I almost said a master manipulator, because he probably that too. But he is a master motivator. And Coach Saban, and I'm sure Kirby as well, because he's coached on them for years, but he's going to get the most out of those guys this year. I hear everybody talking about their quarterback situation and who's going to do this and who's going to. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's pissed. He's going to use that as motivation for these guys going into it. No one's talking about y'all. Everybody's an anointed Georgia, big bad. They done took over our run. And he's going to use all of that. And I think that this year will probably be one of his best coaching jobs.
That was Rohan Davey, former LSU quarterback, who played under Nick Saban, on what he thinks Nick Saban is going to turn all of this quote-unquote yummy rat poison into. Because I think we all know nobody creates bulletin board material quite like Nick Saban does. And nobody loves criticism quite like Nick Saban does. So hearing Rohan Davey and just knowing what I know about the tendencies of Nick Saban, I know he is collecting all of these things. Is Nick Saban's legacy on the line? Is Alabama no longer the Alabama or the dynasty that we knew it to be? I know that he's collecting this, and he's going to use it as fuel for the fire. And me as an LSU fan, and I think Tennessee fans alike, or whatever fan that you might, whatever team you might be a fan of, you should be scared, because I know I am.
Well, what happened when, people were early on when people were sort of Georgia was catching the buzz of from everybody, mm-hmm. and you know. Georgia is the team to beat. Georgia is the team to beat. And then what happened? They beat Alabama, what, in the SEC championship game, I believe? And everybody was saying it's over with. Then what happened? Nick Saban won a championship, didn't he? Didn't he win a championship that year?
Yep, he did.
Didn't he win a championship that year?
Yep.
Okay. I'm saying, I think what happens is people, because, and you said it, Willie, because he's been on top for so long, it becomes boring. Mm-hmm. It becomes boring to see Nick Saban win 12 games and not lose a game, or win 13 games, meaning a championship game, and not win and not lose a game. It's boring to see him have the best quarterback. It's boring to see him have the best running back. It's boring to see him have two of the best receivers in the country. That's boring to everybody. Everybody's seen it.
We've seen it already.
Exactly. They want something new to happen. They want, you know, everybody's seen, you know, Jason Voorhees, you know, get killed, stand back up, and start walking. They get tired of this. They want to see somebody just kill him, like, just put him out so he can't come back anymore. That's what people want to see.
Put us out of our misery.
Exactly. So, and it never happens.
Aren't Jason
Voorhees.
Jason all, movies?
Exactly. I'm sure they are. It's probably Halloween, Jason 55 now.
Friday the 13th.
Jason in Oklahoma. Yeah.
All right, would anybody like to text the text line and tell us exactly how many Friday the 13th Jason movies there have been? Wait, somebody got to Google that. Or maybe Nick back at the studio can do that. You know, I would add, number one recruiting class is always boring, right? There are, you know.
Yes.
I think maybe somebody ranks them number two or three just for fun, just to say, well, you know, I don't know about that. They got 1 4-star this year. It wasn't all 5-star. He always gets sensitive because, you know, he's supposed to have this team stacked of 5-star. But as you said, Derek, the best thing you say about Coach Saban is not only does he get the best players, things like that, but I do think, A, he really does make an effort to try to develop players, not only as football players, but I think he tries to put them on a path to be successful beyond football. I think that's important. I don't know if he's the best at that, but I think he takes time. It's easy when you're at the top to just focus on the wins, but I do think that he does have some substance that way. Not every coach that reaches the top like that does, but I think he does. And I think the other thing that really jumps out to me that you mentioned, Derek, is he evolves, right, to keep winning. He doesn't keep running out the same thing, you know, the same offense, the same formula, the same defense. You know, he's able to change with the times, and I think that helps them stay on top and stay in the race every year.
D-Mace, are there any stories in particular that you remember when you played under Saban at Michigan State of him using that kind of bulletin board material to add fuel to the fire a little bit?
I mean, he was so young in his career when he came to Michigan State.
The rat poison wasn't the same as it is now.
But I think, you know, playing Michigan, And, you know, at the time, Michigan was the big bad team, mm-hmm. you know. And I think he enjoyed that. You know, everybody's counting us out. I remember the year they came to East Lansing, and they had a stacked team that year. I think it might have been 96. They had a stacked team that year. And we end up, no one gave us a shot to win. And we end up beating them on a last-second touchdown from Tony Banks to Nigeia Carter. We had a pretty good team, too, but still no one picked us to win that game. And I think Nick Saban enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, we're the underdog. We'll play that role. But, you know, when game time comes, they will see and understand how good this football team is, how much we're going to fight to win this game. And we did.
Knowing what you know about Nick Saban, do you think that this is all fuel to the fire?
I think it does. I think it does from this standpoint. I think it's more so for his players than it is for him. Mm-hmm. I think he knows this is what comes with the territory. You know, when you've been up there for so long, someone's always questioning whether you're going to fall off or whether, you know, you have a great team or not. So he's used to this. The players, because they fluctuate in and out, new players all the time, they're not used to this. Mm-hmm. So I think he does this now. It's like, it's the motivation is his kids, like his student athletes. Like, they are counting y'all out. Not necessarily me, mm-hmm. you know, they can count me out all they want to, but they're counting y'all out. They say, this recruiting class or this class that I have isn't good enough to win. It's about y'all.
Right.
You know, it's about me too, but it's about y'all. They are doubting y'all. Go out there and prove them wrong. I think it's more so about that than anything. And
I think he enjoys that part. I think he likes having other people doubt him. It gives him a little axe to grind. It helps him, I think, turn to his team and keep it fresh. You know, it gets, like you were saying, gets old being number one every year. But I think when you have doubters, it probably adds a little fuel to the fire.
Totally.
And would you guys agree with me that Paul is bored? Paul Finebaum is bored when he makes this statement. We don't have the Johnny Manziel not showing up to the Manning camp, right? I mean, I was at that circus. Derek, I don't remember if you were that. I think you might have been at that one, too, that year where it was an absolute zoo, and that's all anybody
thought. Oh, yeah.
We don't really have those juicy topics this week. Caroline, where's the tea? We don't have any tea.
There is not a lot of tea, Willie. I have been in search of the tea. But it's true. I feel like every single year there's a topic of conversation or the sexy question that everyone is asking. But I think that this season there is just so much uncertainty across the entire SEC. Is Hugh Freeze going to work out at Auburn? Has Nick Saban actually lost it? Can Georgia three-peat? Like, there's so much uncertainty that it's hard to drum up some tea when you don't even really know what the foundation of the tea really is.
You know, he reminds me, Nick Saban, and I was trying to look it up, I can't find it. What is the character, the superhero character on Marvel, I believe, the lady that sort of morphs into different people?
I'm not
she's
the girl
blue lady,
ask.
She's blue, and then she morphs.
Oh,
she
I know what you're talking about. Jennifer Lawrence.
Mystique, yeah, Mystique, yeah. That's all Nick Saban is. Nick Saban is Mystique. He can morph into anything he needs to morph into as time goes on. If he needs to morph into a disciplinarian, he can do that. If he needs to be a little bit more lax, he can do that. If he needs to morph into the rah-rah NIL guy, mm-hmm. he's going to do that. If he needs to pass the football more, he will morph into that. He's been able to morph into anything that he's been able to morph into just about anything he needed to in order to win.
That's what has made him such a good
Jennifer
coach.
Lawrence is better looking, though, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that, too. I definitely say that.
Paint up Nick Saban blue with orange hair.
She might be a little bit taller, too. I don't know.
The body paint? Yeah, that would be interesting.
But I'm glad you bring that up, because on ESPN.com, there's an article about an SEC West preview. LSU, you know, what does LSU look like? Have they taken over as the thrones of the West? What does Hugh Freeze do at Auburn, Arkansas this year? What's Sam Pittman's expectations as he's walking past here? So I'm not going to say that too loud. But one of the questions is, does change catch up to Nick Saban at some point? I don't know what you know, jaded LSU or Tennessee fan is working at ESPN that keeps bringing up these questions that are undermining Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. But that's ridiculous. I mean,
they're
Nick
bored.
Saban, to your point, they're bored. And to your point, D-Mace, Nick Saban mm-hmm. has been the one coach in college football that has been able to stand the test of time because he adjusts, mm-hmm. because he changes, because he adapts. I don't think the game is all of a sudden catching up to him. He's been in it quite some time.
The question, Willie, should be, and Caroline and I talked about this, the question shouldn't be all of this stuff that is being asked now. It should be, hey, has everyone caught up to Alabama in regards to the personnel, the guys that they're bringing in? That should be the question. How far? Because, yeah. You know, 5 years ago, the gap was wide between Alabama and the next closest team consistently.
And I think LSU could hit it. You know, obviously they mm-hmm. did in 2019. That's one of the most loaded college teams ever, I think, that Joe Burrow team. So they could get there on a given year talent-wise. It just hasn't been quite as successful year in, year out. I think Georgia has caught them right now. Mm-hmm. And it took Georgia about 5 years. Of course, Kirby Smart learned a lot from Nick Saban. We know that. And you could see the steady progress that Georgia's making. But the layers of players, right, when you lose one or two guys or you lose an entire defense to the NFL draft, but you have that next wave coming up. I mean, that's the mark that you're looking for. That's the bar that Saban sets. And so I think right now Georgia's got it. So now Georgia's facing some heat, right? Some of the stuff that's going on there. This is the test. When you're at the very, very top, people are going to take shots at you. They're going to scrutinize everything you're doing. And so we'll see if Kirby Smart can go through the challenges and sustain it for a long period of time, like Nick Saban has done.
And I'm glad that you bring up Kirby Smart. And as we are on the topic of some tea, I feel like Kirby Smart may have drummed up a little bit of tea himself yesterday. And we will get into that coming up next. And your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game.
You touched on the tragedy, obviously, that hit your yep. program there. But you've had a number of traffic-related incidents since then. Are you disappointed that your players don't seem to have gotten a message from that?
I'm disappointed any time we have traffic incidents. It's very evident when you look at it. We've had traffic citations and incidents throughout the history of being at the University of Georgia. And we actually don't have more now than we've had in the past. So what concerns me most is the safety of our players. All right. And when you drive at high speeds, it's unsafe. And we don't want that to happen. We're going to do all we can to take that out and make sure that's eradicated. But I'm also smart enough, Pat, to understand and know that 18 to 20-year-olds is when this happens. When it happened to me as a student athlete, that's when speeding happens. What we want to do is take that out and make it safe and not have high speeds. If somebody's going to get a speeding ticket, it should not be a super speeder.
That was Kirby Smart up at the podium yesterday. Of course, Georgia head football coach. You have not been abreast of what has been going on with the Georgia football program. There's been about 400 speeding violations among that entire Georgia football roster, including one that took the lives of two people, one on the Georgia football team and one of the recruiters for the Georgia football team. So this isn't just a problem. This isn't just something that has been striking the Georgia football program. This is a tragedy that has taken lives. Mm-hmm. And Kirby Smart mentioned that at the podium. He also sat down with ESPN's Heather Denich yesterday. He said it's not as out of control as what the media has made it. I want to be clear. Street racing, unacceptable. Street racing takes two cars running side by side. Speeding is not acceptable, but it's realistic. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Now, this was a print piece. This was just a tweet that Heather Denich put out, so we can't hear, you know, how Kirby Smart said it. But to be honest with you, it's pretty disappointing to hear Kirby Smart say that when it has been such a problem and a deep-seated issue in this football program that it seems like he's kind of just writing it off as, hey, young boys will be boys.
Yeah. On one hand, it's like, okay, you do understand that, you know, whether you're young or a little bit older, speeding will happen.
And look, it's going inevitable. 10 over.
Yeah, 10 over, that's,
But the latest was one player going 85 and a 45.
Yeah.
That's reckless.
That's considered reckless driving. So it's almost as if, you know, Kirby Smart is making an excuse, you know, for these young men. And I've always said this about, you know, whether it be coaches or some adults. On one hand, you want to say, well, treat them like they're kids, because they are. They're not fully, you know, their brains are not fully developed. I forgot what age they said when a male's brain gets fully developed or whatnot. So on one hand, you want to say, well, treat them like kids, and because they are kids, they're going to make a mistake. But then on the other hand, on a football field, you want them to be adults and grown men and do the job that they are tasked to do. Be responsible. So you can't have it both ways. You can't want them to be responsible on the field, but then say, well, they're teenagers in a sense. They're young people, so they're going to speed. Mm-hmm. No, when you've had this many moving traffic violations, that's a problem.
Right.
And you, as a head coach, you have to do something to curtail this problem. You've already lost a life. You should have went in before that, but you should have went in after that and said, listen, anybody that is caught reckless driving, you're gone. Point blank. We've already lost a life. We don't need to lose more. But it's almost like he's trying to downplay it. Now, he could be telling his student-athletes what I'm saying. He could be telling them that behind closed doors. I don't know. But when you get on a podium and say some of the things that you say, it's almost like, yeah, they're kids. You know, they're going to speed. Yeah, I don't want the reckless driving. Our guys are not reckless driving, but they are speeding. No, your guys are reckless driving. Mm-hmm. And you've already had a death within the program. If you don't stop it, you're going to have another one. And then what?
That's the scary question.
That's what I just didn't hear in any of those answers is – And look, I know he's probably been asked a ton of times, and maybe it's harder and harder to show the type of empathy, but I just didn't see much empathy in there. I mean, one of his players died. One of his staff members died for something really not smart, right? Just very,
avoidable.
Very poor decisions. Yeah. So, I mean, I just feel like that would sting me, and I would be a little more serious, you know, empathetic. I would assume that the family and the families are watching him every time he's asked that, you know, and how would I want to come across? I would want to be talking to them. Now, there's serious lawsuits out there. Like, the latest one has been filed now by the other woman that died in the – Or sustained serious injuries, I should say, in that. So that's going on. So I know he can't really talk about specifics, but, man, I would think it would get to him, and you would hear a little bit more of that coming out in him. I'm not saying he doesn't care at all, but when you're just turning around saying, yeah, speeding, a lot of kids speed, that's not the issue here, right? I mean, nobody would be looking into the speeding tickets had this tragedy not happened. This is all stemming from that. Right. And obviously the players haven't really, like you're saying, Derek, doesn't sound like they're really getting the message. Right. It's not like they saw that and are like, oh, my gosh, I got to watch how I'm driving around town. A guy gets hit for 85 and a 45. What's going on there? Like it's certainly not implanted in your habits when something like that happens. Something, a huge event like that, you would think would influence your habits going forward, at least for the next several years. Right, you would never forget something like that. You lost a teammate.
Yeah, you don't. And my thing is, I know how much I preach to my son about, dude, don't drive so fast. Like, I can sit here and tell him not to speed, but I know it's just like, okay, I know you get behind a car, you're gonna go a little bit over the speed limit. I tell him, don't be out there driving all crazy. Don't, because a lot of times it's not you. it's the person that doesn't see you that ends up coming over or doing something or not paying attention, and then you end up in a car accident because you're driving so fast you can't slow down. I preach that to my son just about every time. And I'm sure, Willie, you tell your son and your daughter, just be careful when you get behind the wheel. It, to me, it doesn't seem as if, like you said, Caroline, they're not getting the message. What you're saying to them isn't resonating to them.
It doesn't, at least
it doesn't seem like it.
I didn't hear any sense of urgency in Kirby Smart's voice about how, as an outsider, on the outside looking in, I look at that and I say, that is a problem.
Exactly.
But that is an issue within your program. I didn't feel that sense of urgency when Kirby Smart addressed it. And that's an opportunity for him to be able to say publicly, like, I know this is a problem and we are trying to address it, and there is a zero tolerance policy for this sort of thing. And I think that if there were future incidents of things that would be happening, we would all look at it and say, well, Kirby Smart is trying his best to try to put this under control. It doesn't seem like that to me. And I think that, you know, as a media perspective, the whole line of questioning and the vibe around Georgia is, can they three-peat? When in reality, I think my biggest question about the Georgia football program is, does Kirby Smart have a grasp on his locker room? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't seem like he does. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get your thoughts on that coming up next. Anything is on the table. Alabama, Nick Saban, Paul Feinbaum said, yes, he does think that Nick Saban's legacy is on the line, and I think that is crazy. We're getting to your thoughts on all of the latest on SEC Media Days. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Bringle's Smoking Oasis, located at 4901 Centennial Boulevard in Nashville, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, you can get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Got some thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the latest and the goings-on at SEC Media Day. So unless we have a thought,
let's go.
Let's get to our phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Wes in Clarksville, Texas says, Saban is the new Belichick. Better get used to losing. Here's my thing about the Saban-Belichick comparison, because I get it. I see it. You know, two coaches that are at the top of their craft, no pun intended, two coaches that are considered, you know, the best coaches in their respective sports. The difference between Saban and Belichick is that Belichick hasn't been able to win since Tom Brady left New England. So you could make the argument, well, maybe all the magic was Brady rather than Belichick. Nick Saban has enough of a resume of winning across different years, different generations, with different quarterbacks, with different players, in different eras of college football at two different schools. So I don't think that it's the comparison is necessarily fair. Saban's been able to win more in a whole lot of different dimensions of college football when Belichick was able to win when he had the greatest quarterback in the sport.
This whole notion of, you know, well,
and the notion as well is crazy.
The notion of, oh, this is Bill Belichick 2.0, so get used to it. He's going to start. No. If you know anything about the pro game and a college game, two different atmospheres. They're playing at two different levels, on two different planets in a sense. You know, for Bill Belichick, it's harder for him to sustain that championship level caliber because players are getting older, free agency. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of other things sort of, you know, you got to put into, you know, why Bill Belichick has sort of, you know, lost that touch in a sense. With Nick Saban, every year, unlike the NFL, every year he gets an opportunity to bring in 30 to 40 new players. Every year, just about. He just keeps replenishing. In the NFL, it's hard to replenish each and every year because of salary cap, because of free agency. It's hard to do that. So the notion of, oh, he's going to be by Bill Belichick, no, he's not. This is a different world that he's operating in. He's not operating in the NFL world. That's why some college coaches enjoy being in college, you know, because it operates totally different from what the NFL operates. Every year, he can go get a whole new group of five-star people. You can't do that in the NFL. Just can't.
And it's almost an advantage to the NFL because you don't have to keep going out and recruiting and
signing
new players year over year over year over year. You can have the same core.
Yeah.
You don't have that luxury in college.
Mm-mm.
Doug in Franklin, Texan says, Alabama's like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods elevated the level of play, and everybody else had to elevate theirs to catch up. Alabama has done the same for college football. They challenge everybody to get better. I would probably agree. They set the standard.
I'd say to a degree. It's not like they're the first dynasty in college football, though. I mean, there have been others through the years, through the decades. You know, I would say, you know, maybe, you know, I do think you could probably make a good argument that in this day and age, where it's probably a little harder to dominate, and he's got more national championships, say, than Spurrier in his great run in the early, you know, really the entire 90s, right? That was probably Spurrier's heyday, generally speaking. You know, Tennessee had a great run in the 90s, but, you know, to get up to seven, what did you say, Caroline? Six at Alabama.
Six at Alabama.
That is hard to match. I mean, you got to go way back to get into that. I mean, Bear Bryant, you would certainly have a great debate of Bear Bryant in that context versus Nick Saban in today's college game. You know, how stacked the SEC is, et cetera. But it's up there.
There's no other program, I don't believe, in the history of sports. There may be one program, two. Let's say women's, UT's women's basketball,
mm-hmm.
UConn's women's basketball. DeJohn Witten teams at UCLA, and then Nick Saban's team in Alabama. Those are the only four teams that I can truly believe that changed their sport, that made everybody else like, hey, listen, we need to do something. Because if we don't, we're going to fall so far behind and we're not going to catch up. Those are the only four programs that I believe that had a direct impact on what we see in sports today. Women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so big? Because of what Pat Summitt and UConn, their team, they were able to do. They pushed other programs to go out and recruit harder so they can catch up with them.
UCLA teams. Pat Summitt pushed UConn. Like, I think she was maybe there early, and UConn was motivated to try to catch them and then took that to another level.
Absolutely. So this program in Alabama has done something that no other football program has been able to do. They forced you to get better. They forced you to go out and recruit harder.
Mm-hmm.
They forced you to bring on more than, you know, the allotment of coaching staff. They forced you to change your program. Why? Because of what they were doing. UConn did it. UT did it. And those Witten teams did it.
And certainly the part of that is all of those programs were able to continue to adapt, as Nick Saban mm-hmm. has done as well. One Dexter Texan says it's starting to get boring with Georgia now, too. I do wonder, you know, at first when Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC title game a couple years ago, I think that everyone was thinking, oh, my goodness, finally, there's someone new on the block. Mm-hmm. But now we are here, you know, two Georgia national championships removed from that. And I do feel like there is Georgia fatigue, even after just 2 years. I think everyone's just sick of it.
I like it for college football. I really do. I like that there's sort of, I'm not going to say this like the enemy of Alabama. I just think you have, you know, it's Marvel versus DC. You have the top, you know, whoever the top man in Marvel and the top man in DC, and they're going at it.
You've been on a Marvel kick today.
I like Marvel. That's the best one out. But they're going at it. And it's not that either one is bad. It's just that, you know, they're at the top of their game, and it is what it is.
I am currently experiencing Georgia fatigue.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's only been 2 years.
Over it. 2 years.
Well, that's
Caroline,
it. Well,
your team can get in there.
Exactly.
Right. That's if you're looking at college football and saying you want something like the NFL, you're not going to get it. Right. It's just not set up for parity. It's a group of superpowers. Right. It is superheroes, Marvel right. and DC, and LSU can get into that mix. Sometimes, Florida was in it. They're not in it now, right? They're trying to get back up there. Tennessee is trying to get back up there. They were a superpower. There are some that can rise up and have a good cycle. There are very few that are there all the time. But in a given year, you could probably write down a list of a dozen teams and go to Vegas, and one of those 12 is going to win it, right? But almost every time, right. You're going to be right. It's very rare that a team out of nowhere wins the whole thing. Doesn't mean they can't maybe sneak in and get to the Final Four. And now we're going to have an expanded playoff, so more teams will get playoffs. But can you win the whole thing? It's a very small number of schools that can.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton will come to hang out with us coming up next. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.